It is a beautiful October morning downtown. We are live today at Rock Bottom Brewery. Titans and Chiefs across the river at Nissan Stadium. Mark Howard is here. Chris Sanders is here. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5. The game, the pregame show, is presented by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel Sportsbook, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's been a good week for the Tennessee Titans. Man. They beat the Buffalo Bills, which I got to give credit where credit is due.
Thank you.
These two both picked the Titans. I picked the Bills to blow out the Titans. And for about 45 minutes, I felt pretty good about that prediction. And then Derrick Henry took the ball 76 yards and ran it into the end zone. And all of a sudden, we had ourselves a game on Monday night. And also, it's been a great week, not just because of the Bills win, but the Atlanta Braves are going to the World Series. Oh. So that's good, too. But now, can they make it 2-for-2 against the Kansas City Chiefs? And even though if the playoffs were to start today, the 3-3 Chiefs would be out of the playoffs. They still are the two-time defending AFC champions. They do have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. They do have a prolific offense, terrible defense. But can the Titans make it 2-for-2?
Well, the big question is, did the Chiefs find something last week? Mm-hmm. They beat a pretty mediocre Washington team. One of the worst defenses in the league. The Chiefs have been turning the ball over in the red zone. Just these crazy, quirky deflections, you know, for interceptions and all that, and not getting in the end zone. Meanwhile, it's funny to me how people around the league, covering the league, have processed the Titans' win. A lot of people felt like, oh, it was just a quarterback slip near the goal line that got them the win, and others viewed it as a gritty, gutty, you know, really circle the wagons type of performance. But whatever the case, I know one thing. They had more points than the Bills on Monday night, and they come out of that game with a huge victory. But they are physically not in great shape, number one. And number two, you got a short turnaround. And number three, I'm really concerned about Derrick Henry. He only carried the ball 20 times on Monday night, but still, that's a short turnaround, you know, for the best running back in the league right now.
I mean, this is just a resilience team. I know we say that all the time, but just watching them, somebody always steps up and makes a play. I mean, just look at the situation at the goal line with Simmons. I mean, Simmons, we haven't heard Simmons basically all this year, but then he steps up and makes one of the biggest plays of the game and stops him on fourth down. And, you know, I know that the Tennessee Titans defense has been struggling, you know, but they are bend and don't break teams. So if you have the defense just kind of keeping you and keeping the Buffalo Bills from scoring touchdowns and getting field goals, I mean, that's a plus for the Tennessee Titans. I understand that they were giving up chunks of yards and the secondary struggling a little bit. But at the end of the day, when you're holding the Bills to field goals, that shows you that you're a defense that's a bend and don't break.
And two players in particular, to me, have really shined for the Titans, and that's David Long at linebacker. You know, guys drafted out of West Virginia as kind of an afterthought, you know, in that draft class.
Special teams guy. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But, you know, a guy who had, you know, led the Big 12 in tackles, but a lot of people felt undersized and all that. But he really sort of, you know, fits the paradigm you know, for inside linebacker, you know, what you're looking for. And Harold Landry, the maturation of Harold Landry, coming up with a few more moves, doing a much better job of getting to the quarterback, and he showed that again Monday night with two sacks.
I mean, you're just looking at two guys that's playing with confidence. I mean, you look at the face of Landry. Last year, he was struggling a little bit, and it didn't look like he was having fun. He wasn't understanding what was going on. Look at his demeanor. Look at his body language this year. I mean, he's flying around. He's screaming. He's getting his team excited. And then you have David Long Jr. I mean, it's every time, you know, the announcer were talking about a player, they kept saying, David Long, David Long, David Long. And he keeps showing up on film. And it just shows you, man, he's understanding what he's doing. His instincts are outstanding. And it just shows you that, man, if he keeps going, the sky's the limit for this cat.
And it's funny, Jared, because – you know, we talk about the draft capital that the Titans used to draft Rashawn Evans and even Jayon Brown. Jayon Brown's a different position.
Right.
But whatever the case, and this is where, you know, John Robinson, his resume is all over the place.
Yep.
You know, he's whiffed on some, you know, early picks, but some of his mid and late round picks really look pretty good.
The thing I would say about David Long Jr. is I mean, he's been doing this in kind of short spurts over the last handful of years. And I'll give you an example. Jayon Brown's hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And Jayon Brown was hurt in the stretch run 2019. You know, popped out a shoulder, didn't play against the Patriots, didn't play against the Ravens. David Long Jr. did. And then last year, Jayon Brown broke his elbow on that dirty play in Baltimore, and David Long Jr. went in there. And I think David Long Jr.'s played pretty well. This is the thing I can't get over, and I know people are going to get mad. In team sports, you're never a one-man team. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, you're Kobe Bryant on the Lakers, you still have to have Derek Fisher, and you still have to have Robert Horry, and you still have to have Shaq and Pau Gasol and all the other guys that Kobe won with. It feels to me like the Titans are an NBA team that has the superstar, that has the Michael or has the LeBron or has the Kobe, and his name is Derek. And I feel like he really, truly is. This, what you're seeing out of him, is the closest you will ever see to a running back carrying a franchise. And I just wonder how much they can go on his shoulders. How far can they ride off his cape?
Well, pro sports arrived here in the late 1990s. And this is really the first guy, career start to finish, that we are viewing a Hall of Famer.
100%.
You know, Bruce Matthews was already deep into his career. You know, with the Predators, we can debate. Maybe Shea Weber. You know, maybe Pecorine. You know, kind of a long shot. But I don't think there's any question that Derrick Henry is on a Canton track.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're right. But, I mean, that's part of the deal.
Sure.
Are the Packers no different with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, look at the team
are
you're playing
Chiefs
today.
With Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Take Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I got news for you, bro. They ain't a playoff team.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs are a flawed team,
yep.
A deeply flawed team. But like the Titans, their big star sort of Mary Kay's it, sort of, covers it up. Because let's face it. Without Derrick Henry on Monday, we'd be having a much different conversation.
I mean, we see the emergence of a great leader. We always talk about what makes the essence of a great leader. It's a guy that makes everybody better. He makes the receivers better because they get one-on-one coverage. He also makes the defense better because he's bringing so much energy. Just imagine, remember, was it last year when he gave Josh Norman the stiff arm? Mm-hmm. Look at the defensive players on the sidelines. I know that's a small thing, but it energizes the whole team.
I kid Chris a lot. I do. I kid him a lot. But I'll say this. He would have loved to have played with Derrick Henry.
Oh, absolutely.
Derrick Henry was his kind of teammate. Reminds us a lot of Eddie George in terms of absolutely no diva factor.
None.
At all. Works harder than everybody else on the team. You know, sets an incredible example without running his mouth. You know, in a social media, hey, look at me. You know, as soon as Chris Johnson had his 2,000-yard season, it was CJ2K, and that's what he was all about. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry's already been there. He's done that. And all this kid talks about every week is winning.
And he brings a grit to the team. I mean, even when he does his interviews and they lose a game, he just has an attitude of, hey, I'm going back to work. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to blame the coach. I'm not going to blame the scheme. I'm not going to blame absolutely nothing. I'm going to put it on me. What do I need to do to get better? Do I need to block better? Do I need to pro pass? Do I need to hit the egg? All those things, instead of focusing on others, he focuses on himself.
But you see the way he takes care of his business. And what comes to mind is, yeah, no wonder Nick Saban loved him.
Oh, no. I mean,
absolutely.
It's funny, too, because, gosh, it must have been four or 5 years ago. Derek's either first or second year. And
he almost got traded.
We were interviewing Mike Mularkey. And I asked Mike Mularkey about, you know, Derek's carries because DeMarco Murray was getting the ball. And I said to Mike Mularkey, you know, on the show, I was like, Mike, you know, what's the plan for Derek? And Mike says, and I could tell that Mike had been prepared for this. I think, you know, I think the Titans people probably said, hey, Jared's been complaining that Derek's not getting the ball enough. Because Mike Mularkey goes, how many times did you get the ball at Alabama his first year? I was like, not a lot. He goes, how'd that work out for him? I said, he won the Heisman. He goes, okay, there you go. And I do think that that's kind of been Derek's career here, is that Joe Rexroad and I will fight over this, but I believe that Vrabel and Matt LaFleur held Derek Henry back in that 2018 season. And I say that because he had 155 in the playoff game before they got here. And then once he rushed that 99-yard rush against Jacksonville, they kind of realized, wait a minute, we may have a really good player on our hands we need to get the ball to. And since then, he's been the best running back ever.
But that was on Derek. Oh, good. That was on Derek, though. Because Derek wasn't playing like he was capable of playing when he did in Alabama. He was running more side to side. He wasn't hitting the hole. And then Eddie George comes and talks to him.
Remember that.
Yes. And then he said, come on, dude, you're too big and too physical to be playing like that.
So I think that the Eddie talk was good for Derek, for sure. But I think it's overblown how big of a deal that was. I think people talk about it like Derek was bad.
He was.
Then he talked to Eddie, put his head down on the pillow, woke up and was the best running back ever. I have a hard time with that.
Go ahead, Mark.
First of all, DeMarco Murray was a remarkably complete back. Good blocker, good pass receiver. I think we realized, you know, when he came here, especially that first year, I think a lot of it has sort of been divine intervention. I think it was sort of a blessing that Derrick Henry didn't get a lot of carries his first few years here, because now on the back end, you know, they've been able to overuse him.
Yeah, I mean, just look at what he did when he first came in. You know, they would come downhill. They would give him the ball and run a lot of the power. And then now they kind of put him in a situation to where he's just getting it real quick and hitting the hole fast. And I think that's totally the difference. So,
I am just a believer that the Titans, once they figured out what they
had
in Derrick Henry, he's been the best running back ever since that Jacksonville game.
I understand that, but the thing about it is when Derrick first came in, he almost got traded. It wasn't that LaFleur wasn't putting him in a good position.
Now, Floyd does deny that that was the case.
Yeah, he just wasn't running. He was running more side to side, as opposed to what I said before earlier in the show. He wasn't hitting the hole like he is now. And now when you do that and you're not playing with any confidence, you're not going to play like he is. I mean, look at his demeanor now and look at his demeanor back then. Totally
different.
The
first game of the 2018 season, Titans went to Miami and lost, and it was that weird, like, you know, rainstorm in the middle of the game, the two delays. It took 8 hours to finish. Mm-hmm. Derek had like a 70-yard touchdown run that came off the board because of a phantom holding call by Jerome Bowers.
Right, right.
And I've always wondered if they didn't call that holding penalty and you had won the game in Miami because Derek had busted out a 70-yard rush, mm-hmm. would Derek have had maybe not a 2,000-yard season in 2018, mm-hmm. but he really did most of his damage in five games mm-hmm. and he had a 1,000-yard season. So I'm thinking that we could be talking about somebody that has won three or four rushing titles. Had they done that with him. And to right now, I think it's gotten to the point to where literally everybody recognizes he's the chief. He is the guy team who, when push comes to shove, you want the ball in Michael's hands. You want the ball in Kobe's hands.
True.
They want the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands. You want the ball in Derrick Henry's
hands. Everybody's talking about his carries and he's going to wear down later on. He reminds me of that commercial where it says four tough. But you hear the quote under that? He's built. The truck is built for that.
Mm-hmm.
He's built for that. Look at his off-season workouts. Look at what he's doing. He's running hills because he knows that when the season starts, he's going to be taking some punishment and he's going to have to carry the team.
Did you see what his trainer said in the Tennessean? His trainer says that he spends more time, like the trainer spends more time focusing with Derek on recovery and mobility and things like that.
Absolutely.
Because he doesn't need to get Derek to work hard.
Yeah,
he doesn't need Derek to push himself. He doesn't need Derek to lift heavier weights. He wants Derek to work on his mobility and his recovery because you know how hard Derek's going to work. And he said that the last 2 years that he has talked to Derek as soon as the Titans have gotten beat, that as soon as Vrabel's done talking to the team and they all put their hands in there and say, team on three or whatever, that Derek has called him from the locker room in his jersey the last 2 years
awesome.
Talking about, all right, we need to get back at it tomorrow to get ready for next season.
But, okay, let me ask you, how many games did Eddie George miss?
I think Eddie missed a game.
You know why? And I would laugh at him because he would do yoga. He would get an ice tub. And I'd be like, man, I don't need that. I'm a receiver. I look back at my career, I wish I would have did yoga. I wish I would have gotten the ice tub more because there's a couple of games that I missed because of injuries. Derrick Henry's the same way. He takes care of his body. He eats right. He gets in the tub. He gets stem. All those things that I wish I would have done because at the end of the day, you're taking punishment. You're getting hit. You're getting hit by four and five and six guys at a time, mm-hmm. and your body has recovered. So for him to do that, to be a professional, to say, I understand that I'm taking a beating, but I got to prepare and say, you know what? I got to get the ice. I got to get the stem. I got to do these things because next week I got to go at it again. That's what makes him a great player.
Coming up next.
Let's go.
We'll take a look at the four downs. We'll move the chains with our friends at TriStar Moving. We'll do that next. We are live again from Rock Bottom downtown. Jared, Chris, and Mark. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Messages are coming in and out of my cell phone for people saying, tell Chris Sanders thank you.
Yeah.
For your Derrick Henry opinion. I still think that Vrabel, LaFleur,
stop it.
They try. Think about this. Remember the Chris Mortensen report in November of 2018 that they tried to trade Derrick Henry? That would have gone down as one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL if they had actually.
But we didn't know that at the time.
Now, Floyd at the time said that that report was not true.
That was true.
That they tried to trade him.
Man, he's about to be up out of here.
I'm just telling you what he said. So, anywho, but would have been one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL unless they had gotten like four first-round picks in return for Derrick Henry. And even then, it may not have been a good trade considering what he's doing. It's time now to take a look at the four biggest storylines. It's time to move the chains presented by TriStar Moving. First down. Moving the chains is presented by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. First down, the Kansas City Chiefs guys are 3-3. If the playoffs were to happen today, the Chiefs would be out of the playoffs. Pittsburgh would be in. The Raiders would be in. The Bengals would be in. And the Chiefs would be out. It is early in the year, but the top four seeds in the AFC, Baltimore, Chargers, Titans, and Bills, and the Chiefs have lost to three of those four teams. What do we make of the two-time defending AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs?
I'm a little nervous, and the reason why I'm saying a little nervous is because they're in the same situation that the Tennessee Titans were in 2 weeks ago, saying their defense is struggling. You know, no, they're not doing good on offense. All these things that are against the Kansas City Chiefs. So you better believe they're going to come out fired up. Mahomes want to get started fast. That those fast receivers are going to get started fast. So I'm a little nervous on that aspect. But the thing about it is their defense is terrible. I mean, they're ranked 28th in the league, and they're giving up 133 yards. So that kind of gives me that comfort level that we're going to come out and pound them. But at the end of the day, if they come out with energy, that's the only thing that scares me.
Well, as we mentioned, defensive coordinators have figured out Patrick Mahomes a little bit. You know, he is not putting up the sick numbers that we've seen in years past. They did do a good job of rebuilding their offensive line, but their running game is mediocre, even without Allaire. You know, Williams is okay, but, you know, he's not great. And as Chris mentioned, their defense isn't very good. They don't do a good job of rushing the passer. Hello. They're vulnerable against the run. Hello. Their safety, Sorensen especially, you know, not playing very well in the secondary. So, you know, this is a team that definitely has, you know, more than a few soft spots, and they've really relied on Mahomes to try to get them through it.
You know, I agree with you 100%. I mean, when your quarterback is struggling and your star player is not playing well, I think it affects the whole team. I mean, look at what he's done. He's completed 69% of his passes, which is good, over 1,800 yards. But here's the kicker. He has eight INTs already. Mm-hmm. When you have eight INTs, it just takes a lot of the air out of your offense because you can't have the rhythm that you had last year. So if the Tennessee Titans just hold him to field goals like they did with the Buffalo Bills last week, I think the Tennessee Titans will – I think they're going to win by a lot.
So
he saw you. Did I get a laugh already?
Are we getting toxic fumes you know, over here?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about Chris Sanders is he says crazy things, he's so enthusiastic and such a nice guy. Everybody loves
it.
Him. Yeah. Everybody just buys into it.
Oh, my God.
I talked to like a Kansas City radio host I used to work with when I was in Louisville, and we were talking about kind of the Chiefs. And he said the Chiefs offense has been historically good, except that Mahomes has turned the football over. And I don't know what the common thread behind Mahomes turning the football over is, but the Titans are going to have to get that figured out.
Well, what it is, Jared, is that defensive coordinators are pushing Mahomes, you know, back into the pocket, forcing him to throw off, you know, his back leg, you know, making him throw off balance. And when he does that, much like Josh Allen last week, he starts making some bad throws and his accuracy suffers. So when he can't run around, and gosh, we remember that that AFC Championship game when he was—it was just ridiculous. It was like, you know, superhuman versus mere mortals. The thing about this league is the defensive coordinators are pretty good, and they will eventually, you know, figure something out.
Yeah, and then also, I don't think that. They have the rhythm that they had last year. They just don't have the rhythm. You can just kind of look at Mahomes' body language, it looks like he's uncomfortable in the pocket because he's getting so much pressure.
Well, they never really replaced Sammy Watkins.
Right. True. Yeah, I mean, that is tough, but you still got a little bit. You got Hartman. That's his speed. But if you look, you kind of alluded to some, Mark, about the defensives are getting smart coordinators. I think they're keeping too deep and just keep everything in front of them and not giving up the big play. So you have Mahomes in that potent offense. They thrive on the big play.
And that's where the Titans are good at that.
Yep.
The Titans are good at letting receivers catch the short routes and they tackle them.
Yep.
I mean, that is good. They're not so good covering vertical routes. They start giving up big plays.
Yeah, true.
That takes us to second down.
Second down.
Derrick Henry against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs in 2017. Derrick Henry, 23 carries, 156, and a touchdown. That was the Mike Mularkey playoff win at Kansas City. Against them 2 years ago, last regular season game at Nissan Stadium against the Chiefs, Derrick Henry had, this was a big one, 23 for 188 and two touchdowns. Including a massive run. But in the AFC title game, after halftime, the Chiefs shut Derrick Henry down 19 for 69. He did have a touchdown and was effective in the first half, but certainly not the numbers that we had seen from the other performances out of Derrick Henry against the Chiefs. The Chiefs have the 28th ranked defense and 27th against the run this year. And not only that, they're 27th against the run. They're 16th in attempts. So teams are running on them, you know, right there in the middle, and they are effective towards one of the worst teams in the league as far as defense is concerned for the Chiefs. Chris, how do we feel about Derrick Henry against this Kansas City run defense?
I mean, this is what the Tennessee thrives on. We love to run the ball. We love to give it to Henry. We just got to keep feeding him. And I think looking at this defense, just like you said, they're ranked 28th in the league and 27th in the run, and they're giving up 133 yards. So I just think that if the Tennessee Titans be consistent in give Henry the ball the whole time and control the line of scrimmage and also, you know, the time of possession, I think the Tennessee Titans can definitely be successful.
It's funny watching the coverage of the NFL, whether it's on the NFL Network mm-hmm. or ESPN, because it's almost like these guys aren't used to covering a running back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're used to glamorizing a quarterback or a wide receiver or a pass rusher, but not very often a prolific running back. You know, there are guys near the goal line. There are, dual threat backs who can catch the ball and can run. You know, Hilaire was a guy that they were kind of intrigued with. But as far as a nuts and bolts runner, it's almost like they've arrived a little late to the party when it comes to Derrick Henry. And that's why I love the fact that that he did what he did on a big stage Monday night. Because he's unique. I mean, you look around the league, there just aren't many guys or any guys like Derrick Henry. And to me, it's not only foreign to the guys covering the league, but I think in a way with some coordinators, I mean, I still think, and it's sort of funny, watching DBs freak out when Derrick Henry hits the second or third level. I mean, it's the old line. I mean, they're literally making a business decision.
Oh, I'm not.
And you saw what the Bills did Monday night, and it makes you chuckle.
Hey, would you hit him?
Not if I didn't have to.
Shoot, I'm not hitting him. I mean, he's throwing around grown men. These are grown men. These are not like kids in Little League. These are men that are 210 pounds, 230 pounds, and he's running through them like it's absolutely nothing.
He's speeding in a school zone running 21 miles an hour.
He can run. But just looking at the Chiefs' defense, you know, if you look at last year, I mean, they kind of struggled a little bit on defense, but then later on the season they kind of figured out and put it together. I don't want this to be the game where they put it together because they got Jones, they got Reed, they got Ninata, and they got Clark. They got some good players on defense. And I just don't want them to say, okay, we're going to stop Henry, and this is the game that they do it. So that's the only thing I'm concerned about.
And Chris Jones does
Chris
return
Jones.
Today
yep.
for the Kansas
See?
City Chiefs.
Yep.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
What's up with Ryan Tannehill, guys? Tannehill was 9 of 9 in the fourth quarter in that comeback win for the Titans on Monday night. But last season, Ryan Tannehill, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks. The year before that, 22 touchdowns, 6 picks. This year, 6 touchdowns, 4 picks. He is on pace by far to throw the most interceptions of his Titans tenure, and he just doesn't seem like the Ryan Tannehill that we're used to, Mark Howard.
He's been erratic. He was terrible in the first half Monday night. And you notice he gets nervous when he's in the pocket and senses pressure. Mm-hmm. You can just tell. He just, his body language shows uneasiness.
He is a panicker.
A little bit, yeah. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, he needs to get over that. Because that's something you really can't coach out of a guy. You know, you've either got it or you don't. And to me, he's lost a little bit of his fearlessness. He's not pulling the ball down and running as much, which surprises me a little bit. But, man, first half, that's what made that win so remarkable. Tannehill was awful in the first half. And I don't mean just bad. He was missing guys. He was lucky he didn't throw a couple of picks. He can't do that today. You know, if the Titans fall way behind, that could take Derrick Henry out of the game. I mean, it's going to take a lot to take Derrick Henry out of the game. But, yeah, I saw what you saw, and I didn't like it at all.
I just think, just watching Tannehill the last couple of games, you guys kind of alluded to it. He just looks uncomfortable in the pocket. And I don't think that some of the variables that contributed is because does he trust his offensive line? Because they keep switching and guys getting hurt. Lawan is gone. Then Saffold comes out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Jones comes out. Does he trust his offensive line? So I just think that, you know, if he feels uncomfortable, he's going to make those mistakes. And then secondly, he's staring down his receivers. I mean, if you look at the interception that he threw against the Buffalo Bills, he's staring down the receivers. So that's why Poyer from the Buffalo Bills got an interception, because when a quarterback is staring down a receiver, he's basically saying, I don't have confidence right now. I don't have confidence in making the throw. I don't have confidence on making the right read. I'm just going to stare down and make sure I get it right, because he's uneasy in the pocket.
And I'm not making excuses for him, but it does make me nuts that he doesn't have a reliable tight end target out there. You know, that's so important for any quarterback, especially a good one.
Especially him. Yeah. I mean, how much did he rely on Jonnu in the red zone the last 2 years?
No, and I think that you can attribute maybe to some of his numbers. Darrington Evans is going to play today. Mm. I'll be very interested to see what his role is. But maybe as a safety valve or even an intended target for Tannehill, you know, it's going to be interesting to me adding maybe that wrinkle to the offense.
Man, that could bring some more firepower. I mean, to the Tennessee Titans offense, you go 20 personnel, that's two backs, zero tight ends, and three wide receivers. You just imagine having Derrick Henry in the backfield and Evans. I mean, what do? You split Evans out, now he becomes a slot receiver. So it's so many things when you bring Evans into the game. So I'm excited to see what the Tennessee Titans are going
to
do.
That takes us to fourth down. It didn't kill the Titans. It didn't kill the Titans on Monday night, but their special teams unit is a mess. They get Brett Kern back today against the Chiefs, but they almost allow a game-winning touchdown on a kickoff return that got negated by a holding. They also lose Cam Batson for the season on a torn ACL when he ran into his own guy on the kickoff return. What is wrong with the Titans on special teams?
I don't know. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. The field goal kicker is getting better. You like that?
The field goal kicker's fine.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good.
The problem for me is the special teams coach, and that has been a problem for me now for 4 years.
But you got to have guys that want to be in there. I'm not saying that they don't have guys that want to be in there, but you got to have guys that say, you know what, yes, I'm on special teams. I might not play any other position. You got to take pride in that. So I don't put that on the coach. You got to have guys that have a want to. I want to go make the tackle. I want to block the punt. I want to do the things to get my team in a position. So I agree with you to an extent, but then I disagree with you. It's got to rely on those players, on those special teams. Say, you know what, I have a job to do. I got to make the tackle. I got to make the block. I got to do my job.
Hell might be freezing over right now, but I actually agree with Jared. Because I think if it persists, it's going to cost them a game.
Yep.
They're getting Brett Kern back today, which is very good. Mm-hmm. You know, always good. Although Holiday did a solid job in his stead. But in terms of the kick coverage, I agree with you, Jared. You can't continue to make mistakes and hope that you get, you know, that flag that they got on Monday. Because, you know, I've always said, you know, you give up a touchdown on special teams, usually that team is going to win, because that usually turns a game.
Also, I would look to see Mason Kinsey to return for the Titans. Chester Rogers
really?
Out with
That's
a
good.
Groin injury.
Yeah.
Chris Sanders guy, Mason Kinsey.
McReynolds playing?
McReynolds.
I mean, not McReynolds.
Josh Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds. We'll know in an hour.
Who?
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Titans offense. We'll go inside the playbook. We are live from Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. The doors are open. Come on out downtown. Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. I don't know about you guys, but here at Rock Bottom, I think we just heard someone on Broadway celebrating the Atlanta Braves National League pennant last night with the chop. I mean, I think that we heard something. But anywho, so it's time now to take a look inside the offensive playbook. It's time to take a look inside the offensive playbook presented by E2 Roofing. Inside the playbook is brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville realtor. Kansas City's got the 28th ranked defense in the NFL. 28th in points, 28th total ranked defense. It sucks. We watched them on Sunday Night Football against the Bills. We watched Lamar Jackson do whatever he wanted to against them as well. We saw Justin Herbert beat them. We've seen Derrick Henry rush for 188 yards against the Chiefs before. Chris Sanders, how do they do it again?
I mean, even with this game, you can be the offensive coordinator. I mean, the Chiefs are ranked 28th or 27th in the run. And they're giving up 133 yards. What should we do, Jared?
Give the ball to Derrick Henry.
Give it to Derrick Henry.
But Matt LaFleur could not be offensive coordinator today, but anybody else could.
And then the thing about it is when we get down there, we can't have field goals. We got to get touchdowns because everybody knows that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to score some points. So just like what we talked about, yes, the Kansas City Chiefs are ranked 27th in the run, but we got to establish a run early to control the line. I mean, to control the line of scrimmage. So I just think that if the Tennessee Titans do that, it's just simple. Give the ball to Henry, do what we need to do, and win the game.
Well, for a couple of reasons. You got to keep the Chiefs offense off the field as much as you possibly can, because the truth of the matter is the only thing that stopped the Chiefs offense this year has been the Chiefs offense. It's not like they've been susceptible, you know, to these great defenses. And, you know, like I said, you know, I watched the Washington game and it was like the Twilight Zone for two quarters where the Chiefs would drive the ball inside the 10 and find a way to screw it up. And then finally, they corrected some of the mistakes and started scoring. But again, you know, the Titans should be able to run the ball on Kansas City. Frank Clark is their best pass rusher. You know, you're a little concerned about losing Lawan, and you know that again. And don't talk to me about Lawan being injury prone. I mean, what happened to him was scary. It was borderline awful, and you know. There were a few seconds there where you were holding your breath, you know, just hoping you were going to see movement. So, great thing, that Taylor, only suffered a concussion and there was nothing neurological below the neck, although, you know, a head injury is nothing to undersell. But I think we all wondered, you know, for a little while that this thing, could really be catastrophic.
I think the kicker of the game, too, is Tannehill. I think Tannehill has to protect the football. If he gets hit and gets fumbles and throws interceptions and gives that Kansas City Chiefs the ball, it could be a long day for the
Titans.
Titans
cannot turn the ball over
today.
They can't turn it over.
I mean, if you look at the last couple of games, he's been throwing interceptions, but he's been fumbling and doing the things that you don't do as a quarterback. So if he fumbles and throws interceptions and gives confidence to the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't know.
I think there's a couple issues at play here. One thing that really bothers me is the return of Chris Jones for Kansas City, because he may be the second-best defensive tackle in the NFL behind Aaron Donald, and he really is that much of a game wrecker. I mean, he was really struggling with his health before the AFC Championship game. He played in the AFC Championship game, and I thought he dominated at times in the AFC Championship game. The second thing that bothers me is the wide receiving core right now and the injuries to the wide receiving core, because – like, the injuries to the secondary, and we'll get to that when we look at the defense, that's big, but they're basically replacing, outside of Fulton, not great players with more not great players. Mm-hmm. Right now at wide receiver, he's got A.J. Brown, and he's got nothing else. When it comes to pass catching right now, he's got A.J. Julio is very clearly hurt.
Diminished Julio, yeah.
He very clearly hurt. You've got – they don't want to play Josh Reynolds. They just lost Cam Batson. They've lost Chester Rogers. They have no starting tight end. Ferkser has been a ghost this season. Swaim should not be in the NFL. Jeremy McNichols is
hurt. He did catch a pass, though.
He caught a pass and fell down, which was good for him.
Right.
Jeremy McNichols is hurt. Like, I don't know who's going to catch the ball. And with Chris Jones in there, they're going to – if I was Kansas City, I'd load that box. I'd double A.J. Brown, and I'd be like, look, if Nick Westbrook-Akina beats me, then Nick Westbrook-Akina beats me.
You think Rex Rhodes wearing a black armband today because Mekhi Sargent got waived by the Titans?
Did he?
Yeah, they had to. It was just kind of a roster shuffle.
Yeah, but
I'm sure they'll bring him back, but –
But this falls on Todd Downing. And the reason why I say that is he's because he's got to put those guys in position to be successful. Look at what he did last week. He went in a bunch formation in a 3-by-1. That's three receivers to one side and another receiver to the opposite side. He was putting those guys in position. So now when you go to 3-by-1, a lot of those guys don't get pressed. So now they can have free releases and catch those passes and keep the chains moving. If you look at some of the passes that Westbrook caught last week, he caught a key third down to keep the chains moving.
Sure.
So that's all you need from those guys. You don't need those guys to take the top off the defense or make those explosive plays downfield. It's about keeping the chains moving and giving the ball to Henry. That's exactly what you got to do.
But I can't blame the offensive coordinator when he doesn't He does tonight. Today he will go into the game without a starting tackle at either tackle spots. He will not have a really number two or three wide receiver, and he has no tight end.
Todd Downing, it goes back to coaching.
That's not his fault.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying it goes to coaching. I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm saying when you're coaching, you okay, my tackle's gone, whoever's hurt in that situation. Then now I go into 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends to protect those tackles. Now, if you don't have those receivers that don't have those explosive plays, then now you go in a bunch formation so they don't get pressed and have free release and catch the ball and get those.
Les Steckel, and I know you love Les Steckel too. But if we ask Les Steckel right now, hey, you're going into a game and Brad Hopkins and John Runyon aren't going to be out there.
Right.
He'd tell you it's going to be a lot harder than it was.
It is. Okay, you hear what you said. It's going to be a lot harder, but now you got to put these guys in positions to be successful. Just like I said, go 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, so he can get help with those defensive ends. So it goes back to putting those guys – I know they may not be the best players at that positions, but you're getting some help. That's what I'm saying. So it goes to what Tal Downing does and putting those guys in position in the formation so those guys can be successful.
I think Todd Downing's done a phenomenal job with what he's had. And
yeah,
people
absolutely
can sit there and say, how smart do you have to be to hand the ball to Derrick Henry? But it's been more than that.
True, absolutely.
And, you know, with a makeshift offensive line, again, short week, makeshift offensive line, there's just a lot of reasons why I'm concerned today. And I agree with Jared. Tannehill's got to pick it up.
Yep.
I mean, they need a really good performance out of their quarterback because they're not going to win this game scoring 17 points.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to hold the Kansas City Chiefs to field goals. And if we can do that, we'll be all right.
Here's my thing on Tannehill.
Yeah.
And I understand the position he's put in. You know, it'd be different if he was going out there and he had a, you know, healthy Julio Jones and a healthy A.J. Brown, and he still had Jonnu Smith at tight end, and he had both his tackles. But when you make $30 million a year, which is what Ryan Tannehill makes, at some point the onus has to go on to you. And that's where he is today, because he is right now, if I had to say, okay, who does he trust the most throwing the football to? A.J. Brown, number one. Mm-hmm. Nick Westbrook-Akina is probably number two.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think you got a shot to say, before you get to any of the tight ends or any of the running backs, because McNichols is hurt, I think Mason Kinsey off the practice squad might be number three. And that scares me. Like, that scares me. That you're going to go up against a team that can score at will if they don't turn the football over, and your third top pass-catching option might be Mason Kinsey, or it might be Derrick Henry.
Okay, that's a great point. If you look in the preseason, who's a bright spot of that Tennessee Titans offense?
I don't care about the
players. No, listen to me. It's Kinsey, right? He converted a lot of third downs. So don't ask him to do something that he's not accustomed to doing. We're not going to ask him to run a post or a go route. Go bunch and let him work what he does, a little choice routes, and get open and make those plays and keeps the chain moving. And it's not blaming the offensive coordinator. It's about putting those guys in position. Just like I coach wide receivers. If I have a guy that can't run a post or can't run a dig, why would I have him run a dig? I'm going to have him run routes that he's accustomed and feel comfortable doing. So I think with Todd Downing, he's got to make sure he does that with Kinsey.
My old broadcast partner, Terry Crisp, liked to say, dancers dance, singers sing. And Chris is right. You can't ask Kinsey to do something that he just can't do.
No.
But I want to see Evans in there. For God's sakes, we've been waiting for you for 2 years, dude. Every time you sneeze, you get hurt. So throw him in there. I'm going to wonder if he's going to be up today. But if he is, I think he should be at least a part of this game plan, a guy that they can throw to, a guy that they can give extra carries to. You don't want to take too many carries away from Derrick Henry. But still, Evans is a guy who's supposed to be a difference maker. Yeah. Let's see him make a difference.
So I don't expect to see Evans play a lot today, and here's why. Something they did, and I thought this was a good job by Todd Downing Monday night, in passing situations with McNichols hurt. They took Derrick Henry out of the game. They brought Kari Blasingame into the football game in pass protection. And Blasingame did an excellent job in pass pro. And so I expect them to use Blasingame in pass protection, given the deficiencies in the offensive line, to try to keep Tannehill upright. And then that would take away Evans out of the game to go out into the pattern. And I think they need to leave guys in today to help Tannehill out.
See, that's what I was saying about Todd Downing putting guys in position to be successful. Everything you said is kind of what I was talking about, is making sure these guys are successful with what they do best. I mean, and that's what you got to do. Don't ask guys to do things that they're not accustomed to do because they're going to fail. So I agree with you 120,000%.
Man, we got Mark agreeing with me. We got Chris agreeing with me. What is going on today? We'll turn it on to the other side of the ball. Defense. Titans have injuries in the secondary. Plus, last time I checked, Patrick Mahomes, pretty good quarterback. What can the Titans do to slow him down? We'll get to that next. We are live. It's the pregame show. Live from Rock Bottom downtown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Inside the Playbook is brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. So, we talked about how bad the Kansas City Chiefs have been on defense. Unfortunately, on offense, that has not been the case this year. The Kansas City Chiefs have the fifth-ranked offense in terms of points and the second-ranked total offense in the NFL. The one problem they have, they've turned the football over 14 times. That is the most in the National Football League. The Titans, tons of injuries in the secondary. Christian Fulton is on IR. He will not play today. Caleb Farley lost for the year with a torn ACL. He obviously will not play today. Chris Jackson was questionable going into today's game. So, Mark Howard, how worried are you about the Titans' defense against this prolific Chiefs offense?
Well, the Chiefs did a really good job, first of all, of rebuilding their offensive line. Trey Smith out of Tennessee, maybe the steal of the draft out of the sixth round. He's starting at left guard for them. He's been phenomenal. And that's a guy that we all thought would be a good player.
Oh, yeah.
Was surprised that he slipped in the draft. The blood clot issue with his lungs apparently is being managed. They got Creed Humphrey there. They signed probably for a little bit too much Joe Thuney. But they needed to rebuild their offensive line, and they've done a good job. So you look at them right now, and they've got solid protection for Mahomes. Harold Landry's going to need, again, to have a good game to at least get Mahomes off balance. You let him run around back there, he's going to have a field day. Extending the play, making those off-balance throws. But if you keep him in the pocket and sort of get him on his heels, that's where he makes his mistakes.
Yeah, just looking at last year when they were in the Super Bowl and they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they sent pressure in the A&B gap, and he couldn't step up and make the pass. I think the Tennessee Titans definitely have to do that. Make him feel uncomfortable, and don't let him make them crazy Superman throws and just, not allow that. But I think, too, the key is the secondary is going to have to come and play. I know a lot of guys are hurt. I know Fulton not playing, and a lot of guys that are there are not playing. They just can't give up those explosive plays. You got Hill that's got 46 catches for 592. And then also, we can't let Kelce get loose. Kelce, man, I mean, he's just a Titan killer. He's consistently made plays, and we got to find somebody to cover him. So if we don't give up the explosive plays and the Tennessee Titans can just hold them to field goals, then I think we can be okay.
Well, and Hill, they move Hill all around, it's like, where's Waldo? And that's a guy that, will get a bubble screen or get a short pass and will kill you with yards after catch.
Yeah, and I think Anthony Midgett, the defensive back head coach, or the defensive back coaches, I think that they got to make sure to keep everything in front. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they play the cover two or cover four shell, and I just think that don't give up the big play. Yeah, they're going to make catches. They're going to make those little choice routes. But at the end of the day, if the receivers and the tight end catch the ball, make the tackle, have six and seven hats on the ball, and let them earn it. Because if you let them earn it, Mahomes is going to get kind of impatient because he wants to make that explosive play.
The Titans, meanwhile, have elevated Chris Jones, a defensive back.
He's a dog.
Up off the – that's their Chris Jones.
Oh. Oh.
Chris Jones have elevated him up off the practice squad to play defensive back. Oh. It looks to me like it's going to be Jackrabbit Jenkins at one outside spot.
Oh, no.
Chris Jackson or Breon Borders at another outside spot.
Are they going to bring Joseph back?
Elijah Molden in the slot. And then, like, here's what I wonder, though, right? I'm with you that you got to keep everything in front of you, which means safeties have to get back, get back, okay? Everything's going to be open underneath, and I'm afraid that they can just pitch and catch to Travis Kelce underneath all day. And I'm not sure the Titans have a DB or a linebacker who can cover it.
Yeah. Well, the problem is you're going to have to decide to play death by a thousand paper cuts and, you know, just let him throw underneath, and hope he makes a mistake. Because otherwise, they're going to light you up. You know, Rabbit Stew Jenkins, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of Jackrabbit left in him. He's just getting torched every week. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but, I mean, it, in my opinion, it looked like he's guessing. And when you're at a defensive back.
No, he's gambling.
yeah, but it's – I mean
– Much like sitting at the blackjack table.
Yeah, yeah.
And wishing the dealer is going to bust.
But we knew that
coming – that's how Jackrabbit Jenkins plays cornerback.
But we kind of knew that coming in, that he's kind of a guy that wants to play aggressive and wants to jump on the
I actually don't think Jackrabbit's that bad.
Stop it.
I think he's like Malcolm Butler. You know, Malcolm Butler would get burned.
Okay, let's talk about
then Malcolm Butler would make some plays.
What happened on
then Malcolm Butler would get burned. But for the first 2 months Malcolm Butler was a Titan, he was getting burned every game.
Yeah, but this is we're in the sixth game. Seventh game.
2 months.
2 months.
2 months.
Okay. I mean still, but he's still gonna make some plays, but at the end of the day, I think if he comes with that big interception, I think he'll get his confidence back. But if you kind of look at him, there's no communication in the secondary. I mean, if you look at the play when they went against the Buffalo Bills, when they had the number one receiver out there, I think it was Sanders, and then you had Beasley come across, and they were in the cover four shell, and the number one receiver ran like a inside seam, and you had Beasley run the wheel route. All Jackrabbit Jenkins had to do was give depth. They're not communicating with each other, so I don't want to give all the badness on him. It's they're not communicating in the secondary, because when you're in cover four, you got to communicate, get depth. Beasley would have never caught that touchdown, you know, before the half was over.
I just think if you're the Titans, you got to make sure that Landry, Autry, Simmons, and Dupree get home. Now, Landry's been doing his job. Autry has been doing his job. Simmons has been good, but, you know, they need more out of Simmons. You know, they need him to be great, because that's what we were told he was going to be, was this, you know, just complete game changer every week. You know, like a general manager said in one of these, you know, anonymous GM things, that he's the closest thing to Aaron Donald in the league, and he's just not that yet. But they're going to need him to be that. Bud Dupree.
Ooh.
I mean, I know he's coming off the knee. He's questionable today, missed practice on Friday with the knee. I mean, this is looking like we talk about the Julio trade. This is looking like the Titans took a risk maybe that they will regret, because Bud Dupree has done nothing so far. And it seems like the knee is still giving him issues.
Yeah, I'm willing to give Bud Dupree this year, because there's always a healing year with the knee. There's nothing in his background that suggests, that he doesn't play hard. You know, there's the question, you know, obviously from his days in Pittsburgh, were his stats influenced by T.J. Watt? And of course they were, to a certain degree. But Harold Landry, I think, is doing a phenomenal job. And hopefully, we'll start to see some Bud Dupree.
Yeah, I mean, with Bud Dupree, this is the reason why I would have never signed Dupree, is because he got hurt so late in the season. No, I'm just saying, he got so hurt late in the season. If he got hurt, like, the second game of the season, I'd be like, okay, we'll do something. But he hurt, two games before the season?
Aren't a lot of pass rushers out there. You got to take a risk.
Yeah, but I would say if he had an ankle or something, when you have a knee with his position, you got to start and stop, and you got linemen leaning on you, that's kind of tough. So I just would have took a longer look to say, okay, you know what, I'll give him a pass this year, but he's got to come and do something.
Well, unfortunately, the GM can't seem to draft, you know, he's really only drafted one pass rusher, Harold Landry, and just refuses at the top of the draft to go get one.
Yeah, but so, we were saying last year Landry needed to step up. So now
Landry has stepped up.
He has. I mean, he's been playing ferocious. Him and David Long and those guys, man, goodness gracious.
Listen,
they're consistently around the ball.
A lot of JR's draft picks have been guys that have taken, you know, 2-3 years to develop. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his draft picks have sucked.
Dang. Dang. You got to ease into that.
Yeah. Or they need a couple more years to develop. Yeah. I don't know.
But the thing about it is, I agree with you 100%, Mark, how we've been trying to draft an edge rusher for years and years and years. We kept saying it over and over like a broken record.
They keep trying to draft a damn tackle. <I know>.
And that goes back to my point. The kind of his picks have kind of sucked. Coming up next, we'll take a look who's out for the Titans in this game. We'll see if there's any big names and who's out for the Chiefs as well. Plus, Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. We'll get to that coming up. Again, we are live at Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. Come on out as it's Titans and Chiefs kickoff at noon. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live at Rock Bottom Brewery on the rooftop. Titans and Chiefs getting set for kickoff at noon. A big one for the Titans, and we got some big names that are out. Time now to take a look at the inactives today, presented by Hillside Medical Clinic. The inactives and Mike Vrabel's key to the game are presented by Hillside Medical Clinic. Out for the Titans, defensive lineman Amani Bledsoe is inactive today. Wide receiver Chester Rogers is inactive. Tackle Taylor Lewan is inactive. Outside linebacker John Simon is inactive. Linebacker Monty Rice is inactive. Safety Amani Hooker is inactive.
Whoa, wow.
And corner Chris Jackson is inactive today for the Titans. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get yourself set for another Dane Cruikshank experience today against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Dane Cruikshank is not the guy I want to see in there today.
I don't either. I don't either. I mean, with Hooker gone, my goodness, that is huge. So okay, so now you're the defense coordinator.
I'm putting another corner on the field. Not putting Cruikshank on the field.
So who do you put?
Okay, so here's how I'd do it. I'd go Jackrabbit Jenkins on one side. I'd go Breon Borders on the other at the outside position. Elijah Molden plays inside. My nickel back or my dime back is Chris Jones. And I am putting Greg Maben on the field.
Who's that?
Before I put Dane Cruikshank on the
Who's
field.
Who's Maben?
Signed off Maben. The Arizona practice squad. He's been on the practice squad the last 2 years for the Titans.
Maben.
I'm trying to clone Kevin Byard before the game.
But again, it goes back to Shane Bowen.
God.
He's got to make sure that he doesn't go in press coverage. You need to go in cover four, cover two, and keep those safeties back, whoever you got in.
The only thing about this series is that if you look over the last 5 years, the AFC Championship notwithstanding, the Titans would go in against the Chiefs and you go, they're going to get killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they either find a way to keep it close or they find a way to win.
Yeah.
They won a game with Ken Whisenhunt as coach.
It has been, what's that?
They won a game at Kansas City with Ken Whisenhunt as coach.
Yeah.
He won three games
Figure
as the coach of the
out.
Titans. One against Tampa Bay, one against Jacksonville, and one on the road at Andy Reid and Kansas City.
But this has been kind of a go-figure series. I mean, it hasn't really gone according to the way you thought. And in this particular situation, other than being at home, which is the only blessing for the Titans that they didn't have to get on a plane this week, in terms of personnel, this would have been a great bye week for them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they got a lot of guys hurt, but at the end of the day, man, I think the key for the Tennessee Titans this whole week of practice is getting guys healthy. I mean, you got a lot of guys out because you better believe the Kansas City Chiefs are in the same position that the Tennessee Titans were in a couple of weeks ago. Everybody's saying their offense is struggling. You know, their defense is bad, all these things. So you better believe that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to come out fired up, and make some plays to get this thing going.
Bud Dupree is active today. Julio Jones is active today. At least those are – and I don't know how healthy either guy is, but that is at least a positive for the Titans.
I mean, it is. Julio Jones – I mean, he made a big, spectacular catch last week, which was crazy.
Did he?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, the
yeah,
one on the
yeah,
sideline.
Yeah, yeah, where he hit the helmet and he made a catch. But, you know, I understand he's been hurt, and I understand he hasn't been in the game, but he's got to show up huge today because you better believe – that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to load the box and go imano on the outside.
Chris, yes. You didn't even have this term when you were playing.
What's that?
But in terms of load management, in terms of managing your body,
yeah.
How difficult a week is this for a guy like Derrick Henry, who obviously takes a pounding on Monday night and has one less day, you know, to get ready for another defense?
I mean, it's tough because, you know, with him, he's consistently getting hit. And I think the key for Derrick Henry this week is he sat out a couple of days of practice just to kind of get physically back. But mentally, man, it's tough because your body's aching, your body's sore, you know, and then you got to come in practice, and then you got a game on Sunday, what, five or six games later? You know, Mark Howard, it's tough. But the thing about Henry and these guys, they've been taking care of their body, and I guess the maintenance thing, what the heck does that mean, where you kind of sit guys out of practice? I think that kind of helps them.
Well, that's load management.
Load management. Hey, thanks, man. You went to Ohio State, didn't you?
I did not go to Ohio State. But yeah. I went to a couple of games there.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I mean, they're going to have to go out and play football regardless of how they feel.
For the Chiefs today, Chris Jones returns and Chevarius Ward returns, their corner. Out for the Chiefs, cornerback DeAndre Baker, fullback Michael Burton, linebacker Anthony Hitchens is out today for the Chiefs, offensive lineman Austin Blythe, Prince Tega Wanobo.
Say it again.
No. And offensive guard, the doctor, Lauren Duvernay-Tardif out
what?
Today for the Chiefs. So no big names out for the Chiefs. And for the Titans, they got pretty much their entire secondary out today.
Well, the Chiefs are going to be missing the quarterback of their defense. But, you know, really, you know, for the most part, it's going to be interesting to see if they can, you know, mount a pass rush against the Titans. Piecemeal, you know, put it together with a Band-Aid offensive line.
So my buddy that does sports radio in Kansas City told me that Kansas City fans were actually rooting for Hitchens to not play because I guess the coach, Steve Spagnuolo, loves Hitchens, but that Nick Bolton, the rookie linebacker, is better than Hitchens, especially against the run, and he was afraid that if Hitchens was available, that they were going to want Hitchens to play. The coach was going to put Hitchens in there to play, even though Hitchens was bad for what they wanted. So I hear that, and I'm like, you know, at least people that cover the team in Kansas City tell me it's probably a good thing that Hitchens is in there. Titans with a ton of injuries after that physical Monday night game against the Buffalo Bills. Mike Vrabel's Key to the Game, presented by Hillside Medical Clinic. What do you do in order to be ready? Short turnaround after a physical game with all the injuries. Here's what Mike Vrabel said.
You know, I think as well as we could. You know, I think that considering at one point in time we had 40, you know, able bodies during that game on Monday night, three of them were specialists, two of them were quarterbacks. That leaves you with not very many guys to go out and play football. So we try to get healthy and try to get some guys ready that are going to be replacing some of those guys.
There you go. So Mike Vrabel just saying, hey,
nothing.
Not enough bodies to finish the game essentially on Monday night. They will have bodies in there today, but they're practice squad bodies.
Yeah. Stop. Did you hear what he said? They're practice. Yeah, they're practice squad guys, but they're still good players. You know what I'm saying?
No, they're not.
Oh, my God.
Well, they're not as good.
Not as good. I mean, you act like.
I mean, they're better than me, but that's the extent.
Everybody's
you
know, better. Not,
that's my point.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand that they're practice squad guys, but at the end of the day, they're still good players because they wouldn't even be on the practice squad. I understand that they're not as good as the other guys that are in that position, but at the end of the day, they got to step up and make plays, whoever is in the secondary or who's ever on the offensive line. So they got to get it done.
Yeah, well, I've always been sort of a designer label guy, and you want your designer label players, especially in the secondary, around when you're facing Kansas City, and not wearing and not going with your generic. Yeah, secondary,
right,
which is sort of what the Titans are looking at. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge for them. And again, how the defense plays, in my mind, is going to be predicated a lot on the offense.
Yeah.
And just if the offense can sustain drives, you know, we always talk about moving the chains, you know, playing ahead of the chains and all that. The Titans' interior offensive line, you know, Davis and Saffold, should do well against Kansas City's interior defensive line, which is a good sign for the running game. Now let's see if they can do it.
Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about the defense again. I don't want Shane Bowen to start blitzing, and then all of a sudden he's asking those cornerbacks to go man-to-man on the outside. I mean, that's just – you don't want to do that, because if you do that, Tyreek Hill and Hartman is going to run right by you.
I'm okay with blitzing if you're willing to deal with the consequence if you're going to give up a touchdown.
Oh, I think that they absolutely are going to blitz because they want to make Mahomes feel uncomfortable.
And we talk about chemistry with quarterbacks and wide receivers all the time. I think that because the Chiefs completely overhauled their offensive line And I think their line has had problems early on in the season. I think there's chemistry issues between Mahomes and the line where he doesn't trust them to do all his running around as much, and that's what makes him uncomfortable, and that's why he's turning the football.
Well, and here's the other thing about Mahomes. As good as he is, he's got some quirks.
Yeah.
And one of them is he kind of ignores his secondary receivers. He loves Kelce, he loves Tyreek Hill, you know, but, you know, some of his other receivers, you know, that are out there, for he doesn't throw to them as much. And that's sort of been a thing with him and has led, in part, to the 8 interceptions. So I don't know how that plays into today, but it's certainly a thought for Shane Bowen, you know, as far as his defensive plan.
Yeah, and then also we don't want Mahomes to keep extending the play, because when he extends the play, that's where he's at his best. He's looking downfield. He's looking at second and third and fourth receiver. So if we can get on him quick, you know, we get Autry, Dupree, Simmons, and put a lot of pressure on him, then he has to make quick decisions.
TD is at the stadium. Teron Davenport at Nissan Stadium. We'll get a check on how the Titans are looking. Julio Jones with his injury, Bud Dupree with his injury, both active today. How do they look in warm-ups? How about Brett Kern making his return as punter? We'll take a look at all that with Teron Davenport, and we'll do that next right here on the pregame show, live from Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from Rock Bottom downtown, we are an hour and hour 15, hour 20 minutes away from kickoff between the Titans and the Chiefs. Julio Jones is in. He was questionable. Bud Dupree in. He was questionable to give it a go today. And we are joined now by Teron Davenport, ESPN, joining us on the program. TD's appearances on the pregame show brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, let's start with Julio Jones. He looked, after that great catch that he made early on in the Buffalo game, he looked rather gimpy towards the end. He was questionable for a go with the hamstring injury. He is going today. How has he looked so far in warmups?
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't really seen him do any actual running. He and A.J. Brown were just kind of working on just hand-to-hand stuff, push-off, and that kind of, well, let's talk like receivers, not push-off, but warding off the DB working on that. Julio Jones went out in the last drive of that game last week, and he was questionable all week. He didn't practice on Wednesday, practiced on Thursday and Friday. I think he's going to be all right to go. I did ask him about just how that hamstring is impacting his ability to start and stop, and he said he's not thinking about that, and if he suits up, he's good to go. So that's kind of my report. That's the way I look at it, so I would expect him to be able to play up to his potential. And I know you don't like to hear that, Jared, because I know you have a crusade against Julio Jones and the acquisition, but it's all good.
I don't have a crusade. I just have a hard time expecting him to play up to the Julio Jones standards. I thought it was good that he gave it a go. I mean, you could tell he was playing through pain on Monday night. What about Bud Dupree, TD? You know, dropped, didn't practice Friday on the injury report, questionable with the knee.
Yeah.
He's going to give it a go. We still haven't seen Bud yet look like Bud. Should we be expecting that anytime soon? What have you seen out of him in warmups as well?
I think that's one of those trust the process type of things, whereas you're still waiting for him to get back to full power from that ACL. The thing that I will say, and I saw it for the first time last week, I talked to him after the game about it too, and he said I was correct. He had a little more bounce, you know, and watching him in pregame and just some of the things that he was able to do, and it's carried over to this week where you see him, like, literally doing different things, bouncing off of that leg and driving off of it, which is a wonderful sign for Titans fans and just for the Titans themselves. So I would expect to see him have a bit more of an impact. One of the things that I want you guys to pay attention to is some of the things that you see in the trenches, right? Watch how they line up. You're going to see Denico Autry at one defensive end, Jeffrey Simmons at D tackle, Harold Landry lining up on the inside next to him, and then Bud Dupree lining up off the edge. And they do a lot of stunts and twists and things like that. They were able to get a pressure that way last week, and that's something that they worked on this week. So definitely be on a lookout for that.
We're speaking to Teron Davenport, of course, the very fine Titans beat writer for ESPN and ESPN.com. TD, I'm worried about Tannehill. I didn't like the way he looked in the first half against the Bills. He has been inconsistent, And in my mind, that's sort of been the dirty little secret, or one of them, about the Titans this year.
Yeah, well, hey, man, you said very fine. I almost shouted out my phone number. You know, the last time someone called me very fine, I gave him my number. All jokes aside, yeah, Ryan Tannehill, in my opinion, has regressed a bit. You know, that the play-action passing is kind of working for him, but I just think there's accuracy issues, and it really surfaced last week on that interception where he targeted Julio Jones. You know, Jones was running a seam route, and he not only waited on the pass, he also sailed it. And those seams, like, that has to be put on a rope, so that way, you know, as a receiver, you can catch that thing and embrace yourself for that safety coming up. But then in addition to that, you want to make sure that the safety can't swoop in and pick it off like he did. So that's an example of an issue. They're not taking as many deep shots, so you're kind of seeing outside of the Bills whose safeties just bail out. For the most part, you're seeing, you know, the field just kind of being condensed, you know, and that's obviously not good for on a play-to-play basis for Derrick Henry. So, yeah, I think he really has to get this back in order. You know, the accuracy has to improve, but then also making plays with his legs. That's something that he is capable of doing, and that really helps out in the red zone. And I tell you what, going against this Chiefs team, you get inside the 20, you better come out with seven, you know, at the minimum.
What about, too, you know, something that you alluded to? How much credit does Shane Bowen get for the Titans' red zone defense? They allowed a lot of threes on Monday against the Bills. Yeah, I know, yeah. The Bills moved the ball prolifically between the tens, but the Titans' D did toughen up a lot when they got inside the 10.
Yeah, it's interesting because the whole thing that everybody has been just kind of, you know, begging for is that playing a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage and, you know, by the defensive backs. And you saw that a little bit more. And obviously in the red zone, you know, things are a little more condensed. So, of course, you're going to play closer because there's less space and less opportunity to get burned deep. But I think they definitely have played much better. But a lot of that credit, in my opinion, goes to that defensive line. You know, those guys, I mean, look at Jeffrey Simmons, the way he blew up that fourth down, you know, last week. So it's all throughout. I don't really think it's as much of a scheme thing as much as guys are executing.
What's up, TD? This is Chris. Man, how you doing, bro?
Hey, run TMC.
Let's go, big dog. Hey.
It's the team, Robert Parrish.
you know, I'm going to hit you up on Thursday. But, hey, man, you know the Kansas City Chiefs have a potent offense. They got Hill, they got Hartman, and they got Kelce. You know the Tennessee Titans secondary is struggling. They're banged up. What does Coach Midget and Coach Shane Bourne need to do to keep from giving up the explosive plays?
Yeah, and they're even more banged up, right, without Amani Hooker, who has the groin, and Chris Jackson's inactive too. So that means Leon Borders and Greg Maven. You know, I'm getting choked up thinking about it. No, I'm kidding. Leon Borders and Greg Maven, you know, they're lining up at right corner. So,
woo.
I don't know, man. If I'm the D.C., I'm saying, hey, look, we got to zone this thing up. But what happens when you go zone? You got Tyreek Hill blazing through the zone, right, stretching that out, and Travis Kelce working underneath. And then you got Mecole Hardman that they do a lot of those, like, now routes, those type of things with. So, It's kind of pick your poison. That's literally what Shane Bowen said when I asked him about defending this offense, you know, where you got the deep threat. You know, how do you figure out what you're going to devote to stop what, right? Because Kelce, I mean, you've seen him. I haven't seen a tight end make a cornerback fall before with his route running. But he did that to Ward, Denzel Ward, last year against the Browns. I mean, that dude is a route technician. He puts his own sauce on routes, and he just runs them excellent. And that's something that is really tough to cover as a linebacker, as a safety, just as a defender, period. So you got him working, and he does such a good job of settling into windows. So it's tough going zone. But then you go man, and they don't have a man that can run with Tyreek Hill. You know, I talked to Caleb Farley before the season started, you know, and he said he welcomed that challenge, and I was really looking forward to seeing this game and seeing him run with him, but obviously that's not happening. So it's a tough situation for the secondary. They just, you know, it's one of those things where you just got to hold on tight, you know what I mean, and plaster and do those things because, you know, Mahomes does an excellent job of extending plays and making those guys turn their routes up.
Yeah, just kind of looking at the Tennessee Titans offense, everybody knows that Henry is the breadwinner and the guy that's going to make those physical runs. Now we got Evans. What role can Evans play in the backfield or even being spread out of the wide receiver? What impact can he have on this game today?
Yeah, he brings a level of explosiveness to the screen game. And also, I think when you have Evans, and this is something that, you know, I've said about him since his App State days. I mean, look, he has a lot of 70-plus yard touchdowns, you know, in college, right? And so, for me, you know, when he comes into the game, he gives you that home run hitter, like, not the same as Derrick Henry because there aren't many like him, but he still gives you a degree of home run hitting ability. And I think that's really important to have. But also, not to mention, you know, you could go empty, right? And like, you could line up with him in the backfield or motion him outside and go empty. And I'll say this, when the Titans played the Bills, like in that preparation up to that point, he wore number one. You know what I mean? Mm. And he wore number one to mimic Emmanuel Sanders. So rest assured, he has some receiving ability. He went to App State as a receiver. So I think that gives you just a hidden matchup there that you could take advantage of.
TD, how would you line him up at receiver right now, given the injuries that they have? I mean, I know we've talked a lot about the injuries at DB, but what about wide receiver and kind of with Chester Rogers out? Will we see Mason Kinsey in the passing game more? Will they slide Nick Westbrook-Ikhina in? What do you kind of foresee there? And the tight ends.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a little more Mason Kinsey, and I think that it's a great opportunity for him to step up as a slot receiver. And, I mean, Charles Rogers was pretty much, you know, that was their guy in the slot. Sometimes they'll go trips, you know what I mean, and you'll have A.J. and Westbrook and Kinney, you know, at number three and two in that trips. So that's something. I mean, I think you see Ferkser working some slot as well. And these are all opportunities to just find, like, against a team like the Chiefs, you have to find a contribution from guys other than the expected ones because you have to elevate your offense to a different level to score with these guys. So I think, you know, getting those chain-moving type of plays from Mason Kinsey on third downs will be huge. I think, you know, more tight end trips, you know, bunch type of stuff to allow these guys to get open quickly because Chris Jones, you know, collapsing that pocket, that's he does that. That's what he does, you know. So you got to get that ball out of your hands quickly.
TD, as always, we appreciate you. We'll look forward to your breakdowns all week long. And, of course, the Talking with TD podcast. Appreciate you, TD.
TD, you're the man.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys, man. Take it easy.
You look like Alex English.
Teron Davenport, presented by FanDuel, or excuse me, presented by Freedom Tire Guys online at freedomtireguys.com.
Did you hear the name he called me, man?
What's that?
He called me Robert Parrish. Did you hear that? He insulted me on the air.
You call him Gary Coleman. You call him Gary Coleman.
I love that guy. That's my guy, man.
Wow. Does he mean looks-wise?
I say he looks like – what's that guy that used to play for the Rockets?
Sam Cassell.
Sam Cassell. He looks more like Sam Cassell.
Sam Cassell's got some rings.
Yeah.
That's about all he's got. I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to compare me to Sam Cassell. Chris will compare me to John Candy, and I'd rather have that than Sam Cassell.
Wow.
Coming up on the other side, we'll have our picks to click. Goodness. Who's got a click for a Titans victory? Ooh. Plus, why today's game should only be viewed as a bonus for the Titans. We'll get to that coming up next. It's the pregame show live from Rock Bottom on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time now for Picks to Click, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Who's got a click for the Titans to walk out of Nissan Stadium with another victory? By the way, none of us picked Derrick Henry to click last week on the offensive side of the ball. Chris Sanders, we start with you. Who's your offensive pick to click today?
I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill. And the reason why I'm going him is he's got to protect the football. He's thrown a couple of interceptions in the last couple of games and had a couple of fumbles. If he can protect the football and throw it to the right receivers in the right place and not throw it to the other team, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to win this big.
Ryan Tannehill threw for 181 yards the last time the Titans beat the Chiefs in 2019 at Nissan Stadium. What are you looking for out of him today? Are you looking for him to try to throw for 230, 225 yards? Or are you looking for him to throw 350, 360 in order to keep up with Kansas City's offense?
I would just say about 250 yards and protect the football. I mean, if you don't protect the football and you're throwing interceptions and you're getting hit and fumble, you're giving the ball to the opponent offense. So I just think if he protects the football, throws it to the receivers in the right place, and not throw it to the opposite team, which is Kansas City, then I think the Tennessee Titans can win the time of possession.
Yeah, you need a little context. He could throw for 350, but that could also mean the Titans are way behind and have to maybe not junk the running game, but minimize it.
Great point.
Mark, who's your offensive pick to click?
Oh,
let's go. Kinsey?
I'm going to say Kendall Lamb, believe it or not. Again, out there playing left tackle in an emergency situation. He's going to have Frank Clark as his constant companion. And if he can keep Clark off of Tannehill, I think that enhances success for the Titans offense.
That's good.
I am worried about Kendall Lamb because I'm not sure he's very good.
By the way, they did not allow a sack against Buffalo, which to me might have been the most stunning stat of Monday night.
Lamb held his own when he had to go in the game. I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due. Kendall Lamb held his own. I am worried, though, about the offensive line today with Chris Jones returning and Frank Clark. My offensive pick to click is Derrick Henry.
Whoa.
And here's why I'm going to go with Derrick Henry. Because I think one thing that Titan fans maybe haven't fully grasped yet is that in sports, every team has their best player. Like, even when you're not good, you have a best player. Mm-hmm. But when you've got a good team, your best player is normally a superstar, one of the premier players in the league. And right now, that's what the Titans have. He is carrying this team right now, literally carrying them. They're not a good team without him. They are a 3 or 5-win football team if Derrick Henry is not the running back. And so, to me, I went into last week thinking, okay, Sean McDermott in Buffalo, they're going to come in here, and the one thing they're not going to let happen is Derrick Henry take the game over early. And so Tannehill was going to have to be effective early to use the pass to set up the run. And I'll be darned if Derrick Henry didn't take a carry in the first half and just run 76 yards up the middle for a touchdown. When the Titans beat the Chiefs in 2019, Derrick Henry had an 80-plus yard run. He's going to have another one of those today. He had 188 yards on the ground. He's going to have another one of those today. I mean, he's at the point now where 150 and 3 touchdowns doesn't even wow us anymore. It's like that's what we expect out of him. They're going to need one of those Derrick Henry-level performances today to have a chance before we get to anything about the defensive line or the secondary or Tannehill. None of it matters if Derrick doesn't carry the load and do the Derrick thing today.
Well, and you're right. And the Titans offense has not been what we thought it would be. We thought this would be a pick-your-poison offense where they could beat you through the air, you know, through play action. They could beat you, you know, with a solid pass-catching tight end in Firkser. That hasn't materialized. It's all you're right. It's all fallen on Henry. Occasionally, the wide receivers, but really on Henry. And, you know, good for Todd Downing that he's figured out a way to adapt. But there are most people around the league that are saying, fine, ride Henry. Mm-hmm. But what he's doing right now, they don't believe is sustainable.
That's because they've never seen it before, because nobody's ever done what he's doing right now.
I was listening to you on the radio last week, and you said something so profound that I just stopped in my tracks. You said it is an honor to watch what we're seeing every single week.
Yes.
This is greatness, what we're seeing. I mean, when he started early in his career, it was like, oh, he looks terrible. He's too big to be running that soft. But to get the opportunity and the honor to actually witness.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the show.
Show?
Oh, that's an honor.
But just watching him, what he's doing, I've been watching football a long time, and what we're seeing, I've never seen this ever in my life.
And I'll say this about Derrick Henry too, as far as he is the Michael Jordan of the Tennessee Titans. To your point about picking Tannehill, and we need Scottie Pippen to show up today.
True.
You need Ron Harper to show up today.
We need Bill Cartwright. We need Will Perdue.
Tony Kukoc to show up today for the Tennessee Titans. Defensive picks to click. Who is the Dennis Rodman today for the Tennessee Titans on defense that they need to click, Chris Sanders?
I'm going with Jack Rabbit Jenkins.
Hate Jack Rabbit Jenkins.
I can't, but he's got to show up. He's going to have to show up. He's been getting drilled these last 5 and 6 weeks, but he's going to have to come up with a big interception or a big stop or some deflections, because I guarantee you they're going to come after him. They're definitely going to come after him and say, you know what, we're going to look at the weakest link in the secondary, and I believe it's Jackrabbit Jenkins, but he's got to step up today, make some kind of clutch interception to turn the game around.
He's so bunny, and he doesn't even know it. Harold Landry for me. Harold Landry has suddenly, you know, gone on this 16-sack pace. You know, he's going to blow all of his, you know, previous career highs out of the water, I think, by halfway through the season. But he's done a great job. We saw him A-gap it against the Bills with that inside pass rush. I've never seen that before from Harold Landry. But that's one of the reasons why we're getting a better version of him this year.
Yeah, he's just playing with a lot of confidence. I mean, look at what he's – when he came in, he was kind of like, you know, trying to figure out his way. But look at his body there. Look at his confidence. Look at it, wherever the ball is at, he's consistently around the ball. Why? Because he's just playing with a lot of confidence.
Has what my old buddy, Titans radio commentator Dave McGinnis, calls the motorcycle lean. You know, he's just got that flexibility to get around the corner. Would be nice for him to get some help.
Yep.
Hello.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't think it's an accident that Harold Landry's in a contract year and all of a sudden is playing out of his mind. I'm torn on two guys, so I'm just going to throw them both out there. Danico Autry is one of them who I don't think is getting his due for what he has come in and done. And I thought he created the interception that Byard had that set up the touchdown on Monday night. I think Autry's a physical player, and I think he's the kind of guy who has been through the wars enough to where, you know, your offensive line is not going to intimidate Autry. And I think if there's anybody that can affect Mahomes, he's got this. He's got a very deceptive speed for a guy his size. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Josh Evans, you know, and I think that Mahomes, if he tries to do a lot of dancing around, it could be Autry who's the one who makes Mahomes pay for it. And the other one is obvious, David Long Jr. And I say this because I don't know who else there is to match up on Travis Kelce. I don't think you can match up Rashawn Evans on him. I don't think you can match up Jayon Brown on him. Jayon's not big enough. Rashawn's not fast enough. I don't think you can match up a DB on him unless you're willing to use Byard to guard Kelce, and I'm not willing to do that. I think David Long Jr. draws the unfortunate task of having to guard Travis Kelce today.
Not Dane Cruikshank.
I think I'd rather have Chris Sanders out there trying to guard Travis Kelce. You are 50 years old.
But I can still play cover two, play the flat.
and I am really worried that the Titans are – do you guys remember the playoff game a couple years ago where they threw to Kelce on every play and then Kelce got concussed by Jonathan Cyprian, mm-hmm. came out of the game, and it totally changed the game? I am afraid that they're going to be able to throw the ball to Kelce like they did in that playoff game where it was literally like Kelce, 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 Hill, Kelce, Kelce, concussed, out of the game.
So what do you do to stop him? Do you double him or do you play brackets on him?
Other than concussing him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit him over the head before the game.
Or take away his helmet.
I think what you've got to do is you've got to have Long matched up on him straight up, and then you've got to have safety help like a Cruikshank who stinks or something, you know, over the top of it. But I don't know. I mean, to me, you got to drop the safeties back because you can't let these wide receivers run by your DBs, and your corners can't run with these receivers.
But see, the thing about it is if they do that, just like what you said, if they keep throwing it to Kelce, 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 and they keep converting third down, now Henry stays off the field.
Sure.
And that's the kind of thing you find yourself worrying about, that if they do this, then the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win the time of possession, and Henry's going to be on the sidelines.
Those are our picks to click, brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment. I do have one thought on today's game, which is the Titans are underdogs to the Colts. I mean, to the Chiefs. We know that. Huge game looming next week against Indianapolis. And I am not looking ahead to the Indy game. But Indy plays tonight on Sunday Night Football against San Francisco. Jimmy G makes his return. Indianapolis has not impressed me this year. And teams don't play well when they travel out to the West Coast. I believe Indy is still a favorite in today's game, though I'm not sure against San Francisco. I think either they're a two-point favorite or a two-point dog.
No, they're a four-point dog.
Four-point dog, which is good. I look at this, and I think to myself, when you looked at the gauntlet stretch of Kansas City, or Buffalo, Kansas City, Indy, and the Rams, and really take Indy out of it, those three teams, you knew in your heart you just had to win one. Just win one. You won the Buffalo game. I look at this and I think, if you can win today and Indy loses at San Francisco, you can go for the kill shot next week. Mm. But if you lose today, it's not the end of the world, given where you are on Indianapolis and what's left on their schedule as well.
No, you're right. And you wonder how the Titans are looking at this game with next week looming. Because next week, essentially, you know, those divisional games are worth two games. You know, we said Monday night, would we trade a Buffalo win for a Kansas City loss in this, you know, sort of two-game gauntlet where they got to play the Bills and Chiefs? I said I would take a split. I still feel that way. If they win today, great. If they don't, so be it. You know, I don't view this game today as crucial.
I think with the Indianapolis Colts, they know that this is a must win. If they go down there and beat San Fran, they know that the Tennessee Titans got to go to Indianapolis, and that's going to be a barn burner. So they know the significance of this game. So I'd rather for, like, the Tennessee Titans win, just like you said, and the Indianapolis Colts lose, because just like you said, they go down there and it could be the kill shot. I think it'd be huge for the Tennessee Titans.
I think it was a total kick in the groin to the Colts on Monday night when the Titans won. Because I think they looked at it and they were banking on, hey, they're going to lose to Buffalo. We're going to beat the Houston Texans. We'll gain a game. And they ended up not gaining a game,
right,
which I think was a big deal to them. And then I think today, you know, I think if you lose and they win at San Francisco, you go there next week. And if you don't win that game, now the division very much is a legitimate, you know, kind of thing. If they lose and you win today, you're going there to knock them out. You beat them there. There is no shot that they're coming back on you. I mean, I guess there's a shot. But with their schedule, having Buffalo and Tampa Bay and Arizona.
You got them by the throat.
Yep. I mean, they are. I think the Colts are donezo if they lose that, if they lose the next two and you win both of them.
Right.
I mean, I look at the opportunity, though, and I'm with Mark. I think, too, if you're Vrabel, and not even Vrabel, but the medical staff and the. I think if somebody is hurt today and you can get them back out there, but you can, I think you got to think twice about it.
Well, there's a little bit of a house money element to this game.
Yes.
And you always wonder how it figures into a coach's thinking. But I would say winning Monday lowers the urgency a little bit today. It doesn't mean they don't want to win, because I really think the Titans match up favorably against the Chiefs, Titans offense, Chiefs defense. Titans can win this game. Now, I don't know how they're going to perform with maybe a little less pressure on them. You know, last week, really nobody thought they were going to win that game, except a few. But
me too. Yeah.
Optimistic Chris never, yeah. You know, he's oh, never man. Fails. I also, to that point, the Chiefs are 3-3, and outside of the AFC playoff picture right now, Kansas City's going to make the playoffs. Like, I am convinced Kansas City's going to make the playoffs.
This is an important game, though, to them. They don't want to go 3-4.
According to ESPN's FPI, a win for the Chiefs gives them an 80% chance of making the playoffs. A loss gives them a 60%.
That's crazy.
See, that's why I think this game is so big. And sure. It's really big for the Kansas City Chiefs because, you know, everybody's been talking about, you know, they've been struggling. Mahomes is not his Mahomes superhero style. But they know that if they can knock the Tennessee Titans off, it puts them right back in position, exactly what you just said.
And here's another crazy thing. Right now, the top four seeds in the AFC, Baltimore, Chargers, Titans, Bills, in that order. Now, the Bills are going to be the number one seed in the AFC because they play one team with a winning record the rest of the way.
That is crazy.
And Baltimore, I mean, think about it. The Bills play in a division where New England's not very good, the Jets aren't very good, the Dolphins aren't very good. Baltimore plays in a division where Cleveland's pretty good, Cincinnati's pretty good, Pittsburgh's okay.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard. But the Chiefs have three losses, the Ravens, the Chargers, and the Bills. Mm. If they lose to the Titans, they will be losing the tiebreaker to all four of the top AFC seeds. And I think that's pretty telling about Kansas City if they do, in fact, lose today.
Yeah, and that's what the Tennessee Titans got to do. They just got to start fast. And when you start fast, and I know y'all hate that coin toss, all that crazy stuff, but if they start fast, you don't give the Kansas City Chiefs any confidence. Yeah, don't give them.
Chris, give it up. They don't subscribe to the coin toss
thing.
It's
not.
Getting the ball to start the second half is more important.
He's believed this for 20 years. You think you're going to change his opinion now?
Get TD on the phone. It's not about just the coin toss. It's the momentum that you start with the game. I'm telling you, it makes a difference.
Chris.
Okay.
If your team is determined by what happens on the first possession, it shouldn't be in the NFL.
No. It's not determining what's on at the first possession. It's about where the team is at. You got a Kansas City Chiefs team that is dealing with a confidence issue. they're dealing with a confidence issue.
They played well last week.
They played well, but they're still 3-3, so they're still trying to figure each other out. So if I'm a team that hits them in the mouth, all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, you start to doubt yourself. And that's kind of what I'm saying.
Man.
Oh, my gosh. I just texted
Caroline Fenton. I told her that Chris and Mark are arguing about the coin toss again. Coming up next, we take a look at the sports books and we make our final game day picks. It's all coming up. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time to take a look at the sports books. The latest odds on today's game are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, and my official sportsbook app, Titans and Chiefs. Today, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook app, the Chiefs are 4-point favorites, that number down from 4.5. The Chiefs are -4 on today's game. The over-under high, 57.5. It's kind of a big number right there. Passing props, Ryan Tannehill, over-under 250.5 yards. We said, how many yards you want him to throw for? 250. 250.5, says FanDuel Sportsbook. Mahomes, 323.5. As far as passing is concerned, receiving props, A.J. Brown, 64.5. Julio Jones, 46.5. Meanwhile, for the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill, 88.5. Travis Kelce, 82.5. I think the over on Kelce is a winner right there. And then rushing props, Derrick Henry, 115.5. For Kansas City, Darrell Williams, 56.5. Which one do you like there the most?
I like Derrick Henry.
115.5 over?
He's going to get more than that, boss. He's going to get that in the first half.
Like 115 is a big number, though.
Yeah, but every time we say, oh, he'll get like 110, that joker comes out with 185.
I mean, we're now getting to the point where we're used to him rushing for 150 yards.
And we're used to him busting a long one.
No. It's weird because he starts off slow, then all of a sudden he'll hit a 76-yard, and it just changes everything.
I like Kelce at 82.5. I like that over, and I think 323 over for Mahomes. Time now to make our official game day picks. I have to give credit where credit is due. Mark Howard and Chris Sanders picked the Buffalo Bills to lose on Monday night to the Titans. I picked the Bills. Chris Sanders, we start with you. Who wins today and why?
I'm going Tennessee Titans 34. I'm going with Kansas City 31. I just think that
same score as last week?
Same score. I just think that with Derrick Henry playing at a whole different level, he's just going to take over the game again. They may start off slow and, you know, have a couple of three and outs, but when you have that guy, Derrick Henry, just like a Ford truck, he's built for this. He's built for games like this. And I just think the Tennessee Titans are just a better team.
Mark Howard?
Chiefs 37-27. I just don't see the Titans having a huge offensive day. I could be wrong.
So I was going to go 38-28 Chiefs. He goes 37-27. 38-30. It's like Price is Right when the guy says $1 and the next guy goes $2. I'm going to go with 38-28. I think Tannehill's going to play a better game today. Mm-hmm. But I just think that the injuries in the secondary and the fact that the Chiefs have to have this game. Yeah. I mean, they got to have it. I think the Chiefs will get it done. I feel like I've been picking against the Titans every week now.
Every week.
I picked them to beat Jacksonville. That was the one where I
mean, come on.
But yep. I'm going to pick the Chiefs today. That's going to do it for us. By the way, our final game day picks of the day are presented by Social Furniture. That's right. Our friends over at Social Furniture, located at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville. Shop local, shop social. That'll do it for us. We will be back. That's right. Next week before the Titans take on the Colts. Meanwhile, Stillman and Company with the reaction tomorrow at 2:00. We will see you then. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.